Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move!
Against Gill, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome back to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name is Nick Engvall, and I'm here tonight with my guys, Robbie and Mike. What's going on, fellas?
Not much, man. Just here chilling on a Monday, hoping to spread some sneaker knowledge.
I'm doing great. I wore some Adidas Gazelles yesterday. And it reminds me quickly of how bad this, like, straight-up rubber feels on your feet as you're walking all. So, shout out to all those goth kids in, like, this weird flat-sole shoe that are dressed in all black, just strutting down the street. I'm over here in shorts and gazelles and sweating with my feet hurting. So, you know, I'm good, though.
So no more gazelles for you.
Yeah.
It looks...
I mean, that's like such a common thing for me, man. I even just recently, I just wore some Jordan 3s for the first time in a while, and they rubbed the back of my, like, Achilles all funky, and I'm just like, man, what happened to this stuff? I thought I over glorified these things, or I mean I love the shoes, but I just never really remember having any, like, pains from them. But I'm also just spoiled by wearing new stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like, at a certain point, you're just like, man, this shoe is just amazing. Now you don't endure the pain, but now we have things like Boost and React, and you kind of just want the comfort along with the good looking sneaker.
But Nick, your team no-show sock, right? You don't wear high socks?
I do occasionally, but I'd rather wear no-shows for sure.
Might be time for a quarter sock.
Yeah.
The Jordan. Jordan 3s and 4s will get you.
Yep. So I think we got a pretty solid show today. And before we get into it, I just want to shout out MattShoe23 for leaving us a review on iTunes. We appreciate you guys taking the time to leave us a review. It's really the only way we can kind of reach a new audience and get in front of more people. And we just are thankful that you took the time to leave that review. So if you got 30 seconds or a minute or two, leave us a review on iTunes, tweet at us, leave us a comment on Instagram. Let us know what you think of the podcast and how we can improve it, or what we should do differently, what you'd like to see, all that kind of stuff. Cause we definitely want to keep the conversation going and try to get more of the community involved in what we're doing. So appreciate all of you taking the time to listen.
Yep. Thank you, everybody.
We love it.
So first, kind of news thing that I saw today was just the second colorway of that Air Max 90, the B sides. I think they killed it with that shoe. I mean, maybe it's just like I'm the age of the mixtape kids, but I don't know. This one with the basically like black and don't call it infrared kind of looks super dope to me.
Yeah. It's a good looking sneaker, and I think they did exactly what they, you know, what they set out to do with this sneaker, was to just cater to like I said, older sneakerhead, the people who've been in the game for a while, just kind of cater to them, and, you know, just kind of pay a little homage to the past and where a lot of the sneaker and hip hop culture connected. So I think both colorways are cool. I'm not a huge Air Max 90 fan. They feel weird in my feet. But other than that, I mean, aesthetically, I think they're solid.
Man, how lame am I? I don't even know what shoes you guys are talking about. Oh, man, I found it. yeah, right? I mean, they're cool. I'm kind of on Mike's side. That mud guard doesn't really do it for me compared to like a 9 or an Air Max 1. So I've historically always skipped the 90, but I love a nice little, you know, exposed cross stitch. Looks cool on the heel. Little ostrich looking swoosh. And the outsole is probably the best part for everybody walking around with their outsoles exposed, which doesn't happen. But yeah, I mean, it's a pass for me, but I can 100% see a lot of people getting awesome fits on wearing that shoe. 170. Yeah. 170 for an Max 90.
Wow. Yeah. I thought it was that much. I thought maybe 150.
That's the crazy part. Yep.
That's like 120, man. That's like, I think Nick said a couple episodes, or I kind of get sidetracked with how many episodes we have now. But many moons ago, you were saying how you'd rather have like a newer shoe with tech behind it than an older shoe you've probably had five plus pairs of if you're you. So it's like, if you're going to drop 170 on the same air bubble since 1990, or you're going to go get some, you know, 4D.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to spend money on any kind of retros that aren't like original, you know, OG colorways, right? To me, at least, there's very few that come along that are like, you know, that are good enough to justify spending it on old tech. I mean, a few exceptions, right? Like anything that's like Kings colors, Giants colors, for me, like I'm interested. But yeah, I don't know. There's actually another so like kind of related, a shoe that I think would be, I don't know what the price on it is, but the Adidas just announced, or Sneaker News just posted about the Adidas collaboration with 3M on the Night Jogger, which I think that's fascinating because, you know, sneaker blogs have referenced anything reflective as 3M anyway. It's like the default. It's like Q-tips or something. But this is an actual collaboration. It's got the big 3M logo on the inside of the shoe. And I think that's super dope. Like, that's the type of shoe that you could spend $150, $170 on and feel good about it, because at least in theory, it's going to be more comfortable and the tech is updated. It's a unique colorway. But I don't know. What do you guys, did you guys see this one?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
That's not theory. That shoe's like, the Night Jogger is definitively more comfortable. But that's so funny because I catch myself using 3M, like Q-tip or like Post-it, sticky note, whatever. But, oh, it lights up when you hit it with a flash. It's 3M detailing. But it's reflective. 3M owns a lot of different patents. I'm surprised they don't get mad at everybody for getting it wrong. But no, that's a really, really clean looking shoe. I really want a pair of Night Joggers.
It's very really decently priced. What are they, 130 or something like that? Considering like you get a pretty thick slab of Boost, this one has some really nice materials on it. Like the mud guard is looking like a nice suede, and got some different patchwork on there. And then there's also a 3M heel tab on it. These are sick. I like this one a lot.
There's five different materials on the upper, and you get full length. Jesus. So,
and then, man, yeah, that's a good one. I don't see, that one would sit for too long, but who knows?
Yeah, I mean, retail on that shoe is 130, so even with the collab, you might throw an extra $10 or $20 on it, and it's still a way more comfortable shoe. I mean, I think the story for me, the nostalgia piece, is super dope with the Air Max 90, but this one's definitely, you know, a smarter purchase.
So 3M is based in Minneapolis, and there's going to be so many people at work that's stunting with these shoes on. It's like, oh, and they're gonna have no clue. It's like, oh, check out these shoes, they're branded with work. And they're like,
huh? Yeah, I feel like everyone at 3M should get a free pair. That should be like at their desk or at wherever they work, their cubicle, the day of the release. Like, here you go, guys. Here's your work branded shoe.
That'd be pretty dope. So I don't know if I didn't really get to look at this close enough, but LeBron posted what looks like, obviously, the next LeBron, the 17. I can't remember if there was any, like, reflective stuff on it, 3M or not. But it makes me wonder, like, how early we need to see this stuff. And seeing this post from him, it's almost just like the same thing that, I mean, maybe I'm just old and like screaming at the clouds, but it's one of those things where I hate seeing stuff posted so super early because it doesn't do us any good. I mean, granted, you can get a little excited about it, but making a blog post out of, you know, a little boomerang that's not clear and makes the shoe look bad just makes people like turned off of the shoe before it even has a chance to actually, you know, be seen in, like, you know, the wild, so to speak. What do you guys think about this?
I mean, I think it's kind of LeBron's part of the, you know, the big Nike marketing machine. So he's one of the best at it. Cause I think of a lot of NBA players, he uses social media probably to his advantage the best out of everyone. And, I mean, with him not being in the playoffs, he's been on it more. His zero dark 30 was no more this year because he wasn't there. So he had way more time and to play with Instagram and Twitter, all that good stuff. And I mean, it's cool to see like the preview. It's always cool to see a preview or something. But I agree that the shots aren't good. So you can't get a really good feel of what the sneaker's gonna look like. And for people who, you know, who really look into it, like, you know, like us, I mean, we get a bad taste in our mouth to start with because they're like, well, this thing, the shape looks weird. LeBron's holding his foot weird. He's giving us like this one shot of him, like boomeranging. So I have no idea what it is. So, it turns into a more negative feeling before we can even get a positive reaction for it.
Yeah. So I'm going to be on a different side of the fence because I'm a LeBron fanboy. But outside of that, basketball shoes are the one, and well, caveat to that, this time of the year, basketball shoe leaks I'm okay with. Because these are going to drop right before the season starts. So we're talking like middle October. So we're about 3 months away. I think that's a good start leaking information time. And that's coming from somebody that looks for any and all Marvel information years in advance. Like, I can take a basketball shoe 3 months in advance, but I don't like when a Jordan retro, like the Breads, or feels like every Jordan 11 the past 2 or 3 years, like, you know what the next one's going to be. There's a quote unquote leaked image 2 weeks after you just bought the holiday pair of the year you're still in. So that gets annoying to me. And the whole, you know, there's a whole dialogue going about the Bread one, like the worn looking Bread one, the distressed, that's supposed to be coming out, you know, October, November. That was too early, and that's annoying. Because I'm just looking at the Sneaker News post, and shout out to Sneaker News, because I look at their site a lot, but as somebody that makes content also, so the LeBron photo they use, if you're looking for large images of LeBron and the Lakers, that's like the third one that comes up. So I've been there. So you're basing a post around a really crappy image, a little video. It's like 50 words and like the second picture of LeBron you can find. So it's basically just a tool or a mechanism to try to get more people to click on your site. And that's ultimately what we want to. We just go about it a little bit differently. And it's on par or for par. I don't play golf, but whatever par is, it's there. If it can get 50 people to like, and 2 spam bots to leave a comment, like, it's a good post for noon on a Monday. So I respect the game, but the game kind of sucks too.
Yeah.
It's like Comcast. You use it, but you hate having Comcast.
Oh, we just lost potential sponsors. No.
Right? I mean, Comcast, they owe me money anyway. Paying $70. I'm not even going there. As you can tell, maybe from my connection, it's not the best all the time. And I have the ultra premium Wi-Fi. Like, what the heck?
Oh, man.
Yeah. I digress.
I mean, like, in regards to the post, you know, I totally understand how people are trying to get clicks and traffic and all that stuff. Obviously, like, it's pretty much how I've been lucky enough to make my living for the past 10, 12 years. But I think that with sneakers, it's a little bit like it's too far gone almost in a sense. Because,
you know, Drizzy? I'm not kidding.
Because, you know, like we were talking about before we started recording, now it's like there's so much early news out there that it's misleading to everyone, right? And if you don't have, don't get me wrong, I want to see stuff early. Like, I'm excited to see what's coming out. I'm not as grumpy as I'm sounding right now, but it hurts the business as a whole when, you know, the situation that Mike brought up while we were talking before, where I think all the people that are into sneakers use, you know, a handful of sites for their information. So as that site tries to be first and tries to get a few extra clicks out of having, you know, quote information where there's not really any information other than like, hey, we're going to repost the LeBron stuff. It ends up hurting the companies that are selling the shoes, like Foot Locker, where you have these people, you know, that look at sneaker news for information, and then some shoes have a release date, some shoes don't have a release date, and there's never any kind of consistent, you know, the brands all choose to tell, you know, one in 20 stories, right? They probably send another five to all these media outlets to help them get the message out there. And then that leaves basically like 40, 50, 60% of their product that has almost no information. And to me, that's just like super frustrating, both as a consumer and then as somebody who's worked on, you know, the retail side. It's just one of those things where I think we need to figure out a better solution for it that allows the people that, you know, either work in stores or work for the companies that are selling this stuff to be experts in it, you know, like, and that's on the companies to teach them, but it's also on the companies to have a better grip on information, photos, and all that stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's like when you go to Walmart and it's like, hey, do you know where the paint is? Like, we sell paint. Yeah.
That's always a fun conversation.
Yeah.
No, man, it's crazy because no, you're right. I mean, it's when I mean, Robbie, you probably remember this too, same as you, Nick, but you know, some years back, whenever, you know, you would a sneaker would release, or, you know, before sneaker blogs were used more of like the old Nike Talk days, you go into a Foot Locker, Champs, and whatever, the new releases or upcoming releases, they would have one sneaker sitting behind the counter or on like a shelf near the counter where you can actually see the release and you can ask the person there and they would be able to give you information on it. It's like, hey, this LeBron, you know, 8 here, when is it coming out? Oh, you know, whoever in the store you were talking to actually had the knowledge and was like, hey, this is coming out here, because they were provided the information from the manufacturer, or so Nike, Adidas, so on and so forth. But now I feel like a lot of things have been relying on these sneaker outlets, such as Sneaker News, Nice Kicks, so on and so forth, to spread the information. And I feel like Nike and other brands are giving out less information just to keep people intrigued. And it's, it gets kind of frustrating, because my initial gripe when we were talking offline was the Jordan 1 Low. They keep showing all these cool colorways, but there's no release date. They just say they'll roll out your local Foot Locker at some point. And I actually sat and talked with the Nike lead at a House of Hoops near me. And he's supposed, like, they're supposed to be like the end all be all knowledge of Nike in the store, but they didn't even tell these guys and girls anything. They literally just, like, the guy told me, like, hey, we got the black toes and had no information in the box. So we just kind of started trickling them out. Which is cool for that old school style release where you just walk in and see something dope on a shelf. But when you have outlets putting pictures of like shattered backboard lows, court purple lows, and now these gold toe lows, like now people, you have their attention and now you're not giving them anything, which that stinks because it's a, and you know, it's one of the shoes I'm kind of hooked on lately. So any cool colorway of that I've been picking up, and as a consumer, has been frustrating because I can't get an answer, because I hate being that person who asks in the store and they, and then the person can't answer me. And I just feel like this is a waste of my time. It's not their fault though. They don't know because they haven't been given the tools to know.
Yeah. I mean, this, we'll kind of segue off of this, but as I used to work at those stores too, and there would literally be coworkers like, oh, let me go get Robbie. He'll answer that question for you. And it's like, nobody, there's like two people in the store. There's another kid who just like, you know what's up. And like, you're in like the fray of shoes working in that store and they can come to you. But the other nine people working there, eight people don't know. So educate your employees more, everybody. Give them tech specs up to date. And look at talking about some retrospective, you know, go down the nostalgia lane, if that's the place. What are we going to be talking about here, Nick? What old school things?
I mean, I think this is like the number one like thing that I would like to see come back or miss about the, like kind of the older days, right? Is just that what I would say is like, you used to have a kind of a wealth of knowledge in the stores, and you always knew that the people in the stores had a little bit of an edge on anybody that didn't work, regardless of how much time you spent on Nike Talk. I mean, I know like all of us, you know, everybody listening and the three of us probably have spent days or weeks of our life on Nike Talk or ISS or, you know, digging through the blog sites for news. And I think, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, the people in the stores having that extra bit of knowledge that makes you want to like buy from them. And, you know, even if it's just something as simple as, you know, being able to hold a shoe in hand and tell you, you know, how good it is and or how bad it is. But so that was kind of long-winded, but basically what we wanted to talk about tonight is the stuff that we'd like to see come back to, you know, or the stuff that we miss about kind of the olden days, and reminiscing a little bit about how things used to be. And obviously, you know, in-store stuff is a much bigger issue with, you know, society changing and social media and everybody shopping online. But I think, you know, for me, on top of the people in the stores having, you know, the support of the company and the knowledge, I really miss just like random stuff showing up in stores. And I think that there's a handful of boutiques that do a pretty good job with it, but there's just something really awesome about walking into a store and like having that kind of shock of seeing something that you didn't know was going to be there and being able to buy it, you know? And I know that like, you know, we have more information now than we ever have. And I don't think this would ever come back, but that would definitely be the top of my list of things that I like miss about the olden days, I guess.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that one. That's, I mean, you can't beat that feeling of like walking in the store and just kind of getting that blown away feeling of like, whoa, that's on shelves. I can get that now. And not having that almost like, because when you walk into a store now, you have to prep yourself for disappointment. Like, oh, I don't think it's going to be here. Oh, I was right. Everyone came, you know, 7 o'clock this morning in line to buy it. So you almost have to pre, you know, calm yourself down from the, you know, that, you know, quote unquote L you're taking.
Like, can you use store locator, sir? Can you see? I mean, for me personally, I would just like to see the kind of conversations and just like people you have around you in lines. Like, lines suck. I don't even like waiting in line for food. I won't wait more than half an hour. But those are also where you just like, you meet people like telling the truth and just having great conversation about shoes. You see people fronting on like shoes they have, but they don't. And it's just like everything good, bad, ugly, fun, not fun, all in like one little place. And it's not a forum. You're not going to have anybody like getting angry or using like derogatory words of other people behind an internet veil. If you're going to call somebody out or have like a real conversation, it's going to happen face to face, and you can just have it and you can retort. And there's just like good old fashioned conversation, man. Just like chalking it up with people. I love that. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, and I'm sure somebody else listening or you two have felt this way too. You see somebody with cool shoes walk by and you're like, cool shoes, man. And they're like, ugh, blah, blah. And they like keep walking by. Like,
yeah,
I'm taking my time to just, you obviously put effort into having those shoes. I respect your game. That's dope. You don't have to have a 5-minute conversation, but it's like, thanks, man. Or like, yeah, I got these, you know, whatever it could turn into. We could become best friends after that. You don't know. So it's like, this, the banter and kind of the friendship and conversation, man. Yeah, man.
Well, it's funny. Like, one of the things I miss actually kind of piggybacks off yours, Robbie's, like, not necessarily not your like fellow patrons of the store, but like the people like working in the store, more or less, not like big box stores, but the boutiques. And just personally, I've had experiences lately where it's just like everyone in there who's working there makes it feel like you're privileged to walk in the store and breathe their air because they work in the cool, you know, the cool sneaker shop. I'm like, but they don't have conversation with you. The service is like been awful. Like, and I'm not naming any names of any particular store, but it's just one of the, you know, nicer boutiques we have here. And it's just lack of attention. People just want to work there to go back to, they want to front on the ground. They can go ahead and, you know, oh, I can get this shoe for cheap. Take the picture for the social media outlets and call it a day. And I look cool. You know, I'm gonna have people coming to me for this, that, and the other. But they don't interact with their, you know, people in there basically paying their paycheck. Who's buying a $200 pair of Jordans? They make it look like it's a hassle for them for you even like to ask a question. So I just want like the days back of people being able to sit in the shop and just, you know, chill and, you know, just chop it up about, you know, the sneakers and, you know, the culture itself. You know, it should be an event, not just a, hey, you're taking up my time, go ahead and go buy this now or get out kind of deal. So that's one of the things I miss.
Yeah. Real talk. That's true.
Yep. I'm with you on that one too. I think the conversation and there's like the trend of, you know, I mean, skate shops were notorious for this because dudes would be out in front of the shop skating while you're trying to buy shoes. But, yeah. and I respect that, because if I was working retail, you know, whatever, $10 an hour back in the day, I was absolutely not paying attention to what needed to go on if I was a teenager, you know. But one of the things I think with, in regards to that, is like it became really cool, right? Like somehow Supreme and some of these other stores similar, you know, hype or stature or whatever, kind of became the trend to like not have good customer service, right? And that to me is just like, it just sets a bad tone for the industry as a whole, because a lot of small businesses, a lot of people that get into businesses where they want to have a sneaker store, don't really have a whole lot of experience in it. You know, some people do, they work in retail or whatever, but like there's a lot that goes into, you know, buying and selling shoes out of a retail store, whether that's, you know, working with brands or working with suppliers and, you know, employees and all of these things that you just don't really think about until you're in it. And then it's like, oh shit, like how do I deal with this now? And to me, one of the things that I think, you know, every startup retail store, boutique, whatever, because I know there's plenty of people listening and I'm one of those people that like end of the day, like I still would love to have a store someday kind of thing. Right. And one of the things I think can't be overlooked is just like contacting and saying hello to everybody that comes in the store. And I don't mean just like, you know, look up from your phone or your computer and saying hi. I mean, like, you really got to like have this mentality of this person has money, and by me being friendly and outgoing and helping them understand what they're looking at, or maybe showing them something they don't see in the store or on the shelves, that's how you're going to get paid. That's how you're going to keep your lights on as a retail store. And, you know, it's just one of those things that unfortunately became trendy for employees to not care. And I think it hurt the business overall, because you did have, you know, you did have a lot of people that ended up getting jobs just to be, quote, the plug, or just to have, you know, early access to stuff. And I understand that, like, perks of the job, like, you want to have, you know, there's more reasons to work for a company than, you know, what the paycheck is, right? But that's definitely something that I think if we could erase that from kind of the history of sneaker or streetwear retail stores, we'd all be better off for it. But I actually was thinking about what you guys were talking about, that the thing that I really miss probably the most personally, just because I was so connected to it, is just like magazines and catalogs and stuff like that, where you didn't, you know, now you can get an East Bay catalog, but most of the stuff that's in there is not, you know, you've already seen it someplace else. And there's no real print magazines left. Sneaker Freaker's still out there, but, you know, it's hard to get that for a lot of people unless you subscribe to it. And I think that there's something really special about that. Personally, I just love magazines. I love the tangible, you know, in-hand feeling of being able to look through catalogs, magazines, books, all that stuff. And I also love being able to kind of hang on to that as reference material. But that's one thing that I would love to see kind of come back. I know Sneaker News, you know, and part of it is, you know, is because I'm so connected to that stuff and have been throughout my career, where, like, you know, East Bay as a little kid, you know, we had, I have, you know, two brothers and a sister. We had basically five catalogs in the house. So we had one that stayed in the bathroom, and we each had one, because don't circle anything in my catalog because I'm getting those shoes, you know, like, not that we ever got any shoes out of there, but like, it is how we kind of dreamt of things. But then, like, personally, you know, like, I got to help East Bay start their blog back in, I don't even remember, 2008 or 9, you know, like, and that was kind of an interesting thing because I got to see a lot of the catalogs up there in their headquarters in Wisconsin and got to, like, hear some of the stories from the people, which it was bittersweet because I could see that, you know, this was the first retailer to really have, like, an actual blog, and it's back when, you know, there was no Twitter, Twitter was there, but there was no Instagram, there was nothing like really as massive as social media platforms are now. So people came to the site to read what was being said about the product or the sports and what was going on. And I think that was an interesting thing to be a part of for me, because I could see the writing on the wall for their catalogs. Although they're still going, I think that, you know, they're kind of at a place where it's going to be harder and harder for them to justify continuing that, other than the fact that they have such massive distribution with it. And on top of that, like, you know, that work for me was when I was an employee of Soul Collector, and obviously Soul Collector's long, you know, gone from what it used to be, where it was really kind of the, you know, Bible for the sneaker community for many years. And I think that they did a really good job of bringing the kind of like common sneaker enthusiast to the light and showing, you know, what it was really about, as opposed to, and like you said, standing in line, standing in the shops and actually having conversations with people that are passionate about sneakers, as opposed to now where everybody that has a platform of any size just wants to find some influencer or celebrity that is, you know, going to add to their bottom line of followers or views or whatever that is. So, I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to see. I know GOAT does, I think it's a quarterly magazine, which is really nice. They do a really good job with it. I think it's called The Greatest. But I really, I really think there's still opportunity for it. I think it just has to be done in a really creative way. And hopefully somebody takes on something like that soon.
Man, shout out to your Game Boy Color batteries dying and only having an eBay catalog in the bathroom. Just like, you know, when nature calls, it's going to that eBay catalog.
Hey, you got to keep yourself occupied some kind of way.
I mean, it's so true. I mean, I'm still on those distribution lists. I think both of my parents' addresses are both on there. Like, those catalogs were, I think the first time I saw the Vic, like the two shoes I vividly remember off the top of my head were the French Blue 12s and the Mike Vick 1s. I was like, seeing those in the East Bay catalog the first time. Like, man, what are those? and just like, Nick, you saying that brought back all the nostalgia feels of just, I mean, I found some East Bay catalogs when I was cleaning out my closet last week or this weekend. I have like some old Kobe 6s and they still have the catalogs in the box. My John Wall with the zigzags are on like one of them. And the other one is like a really young Aaron Rodgers. So it's just like the cover athletes, you see people wearing the product, like just everything. You can go get some, you know, some LRG shirts to go with your shoes, like everything. You know, get some, yeah, I can go on and on with all the random brands. You're going to like, you got bunny ears on like the basketball section. And like, you know, it's just good times. Good times.
Yeah, see, the shoe always, I remember seeing in East Bay Magazine was the Nike Zoom Turbines. I always wanted a pair of the university blue and white ones. Never had them. If I can find them to this day in good shape, I think I might buy them. But that's one shoe I always had circled in the East Bay Magazine, hoping they would one day go on sale. But it's never, like, at least not at the time I actually like wanted them still, because they kept coming out with new things. But that's the sneaker I always remember having. And I think still, like you, Rob, I think this still goes to my parents' house, just from the ones I signed up for back when I was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, like, whole layouts of, like, every colorway of a team shoe with, like, two pro athletes in the double-sided layout. And you're like, ooh, if I played for the Lakers, I'd get that one. If I played for the Knicks, I'd wear that one.
Hey, man, preparation, man.
Yeah, you got to be ready,
man,
for that.
Jumpman, man, that's like when Jumpman, the team Jumpman were popping. Like,
oh, yeah.
Pages. Man. Man, I'm gonna keep doing that all day.
Just reminiscing. That's what it is.
It's like back in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore, but I'm an adult now.
Yeah. You
know, oh, man.
You know what's interesting too? Like thinking about like some of the stuff that I remember getting like East Bay catalogs with like samples of stuff in it too. That was always fun. You're like, what the hell is this? Like,
sample. I'm not that cool. What did you get?
No, like yeah, it would have like it would have like soap or cleaner, or like occasionally you would have like shoe cleaner, but most of the time it was something really random where it was like, you know, I don't know, like lotion or, you know, like it was just so bizarre because it's like I get like they're just selling that to whatever brand wants to be, you know, wants to send out free samples, but it was always
Jump
funny.
Man.
Still cooler than me. I never got a sample. I don't remember.
Here's a sample of Michael Jordan jeans. It comes in a 12 box.
Yeah.
Oh, so I guess probably the last thing I can that really like spoke to me, the thing I really want to bring back, and it's never for me. It's more like for kids coming up in the, you know, who love sneakers, who are just kind of getting into it, who don't have, you know, maybe the means to buy a sneaker for $150. I miss, I think it was Foot Action, correct me if I'm wrong, but the 2 for $89, it was, I think that was the coolest thing for, you know, someone, especially for kids like growing feet, and like I said, who just don't have the money to buy Jordans. You can go buy two pretty solid or classic shoes. It used to always be like Puma Romas, Adidas Shell Toes, like there was some of
Fila High, Fila Low.
Yep,
you had Campus, like Adidas Campus, you had some of the some Nikes floating around there, just like it's such a cool thing because it was one of those things you weren't necessarily judged because you didn't like you know, buy a $150 shoe. And it's nice. It's something they don't do nowadays. And the only shoes you really see on sale in the big box stores like that are going to be some really obscure things that, like, nobody wants it. But these, like, this deal, they wanted you to buy it. They wanted you to get sneakers. And this was such a cool thing, especially, I know when I was a kid, when school started, that was, 2 for $89 was the thing, especially, like, say, when my foot was growing at, like, a constant rate. That was the way to go, man.
Copeland Sports and, like, their skate section used to have that. And I get, like, America's. Yeah. Shout out to Discount Shoes.
Yeah, old sporting goods stores too, man. I mean, you can still find them in a lot of cities if you really are, like, looking. But you used to be able to go into, like you said, Copeland's or a Big Five, or, you know, like Jumbo Sports back in the day. Like all these like kind of like not, I don't know, like they weren't like fully mainstream, where like now you have, you know, Dick's Sports, Modell's, you have like these big, massive, big box retailers that have kind of like swooped up on everything. And like the more independent they were, the better off, the better off the hunt would be. And I remember one time I was actually in New York out in like Great Neck, like Long Island area. There's a tennis store out there, and this is probably like 2010 or something. And they had LeBron 2s and LeBron 4s, and nothing in my size, but like it was like, you know, you go in and it's like a tennis store, and there's a bunch of like tennis stuff, and then there's like the clearance table, and then there's like the basement where they just keep all this old stock that they haven't sold in decades or years. But like, I mean, there was like such crazy stuff in some of those stores. And I mean, not to go down the rabbit hole of like hunting sneakers again, but you know, here in Los Angeles, there's a handful of spots that you can kind of count on like old school stuff just popping up, right? You see a lot of people making businesses out of this stuff. And I think if there's anything that's, you know, like one of the best things that's come from this whole move to like digital and social media and all the stuff, is that people get to, you know, have really been able to kind of build businesses around it, right? You think of like Round Two and places like that, where, you know, they have such a huge reach through their social platforms that they can go dig through, you know, the, you know, Sunday flea market and pick up whatever old school stuff, because there's a lot of stuff that just pops up every week and every month at these kind of places. So I think that is at least a good thing to come from all this stuff. But one of the things you saying that about the 2 for $89 thing that made me think about was, I feel like as much as I appreciate, you know, StockX and GOAT and all these platforms being able to get a lot of the kind of hype shoes, even though normally you wouldn't have been able to get that without these platforms, right? Or you could have, but you would have maybe been hesitant because who knows what you're going to get buying stuff off of eBay. But one thing that I think is missing, and I guess I'm kind of fast forwarding a ways from what we were talking about, but looking at like those resale platforms, right? There's none of those like mid-level, entry-level shoes that make it onto those platforms. And it's unfortunate because you used to be drawn in by, you know, maybe a signature shoe or, you know, a Jordan retro or something like that. And then you'd go into the store and you'd be like, oh damn, Flight 89s. I didn't know those were out now. And the thing that I feel like a lot of these like resale platforms are struggling with and is like surfacing that kind of stuff. Right. And I don't know that you'll ever be able to do that on the internet. I mean, eBay's the only one because they're kind of like the, you know, the massive, like everyone's going to unload things here. But even now they have pretty significant competition from sites like OfferUp and Craigslist and stuff like that. So I just wonder, you know, about the discovery of other models and other brands, because that was always something for me that I really enjoyed, was like going into a store and you know, coming up on something that I didn't expect. And I think, you know, even now, like the more popular the resale platforms get, the less kind of digging people do go through to get through, you know, a site like Finish Line, where, you know, you can come up on some crazy sales, especially when they're doing like the end of season sales. You know, you've got to dig through. I mean, sneakers and stuff is another great one. There's, I don't know, 30 pages of clearance stuff on there at all times. So I wonder how that's going to actually, you know, be affected, because at the end of the day, like, it's not just about Yeezys and Jordans for a lot of these companies. So
hopefully. Nick, were you at Nice Kicks in 2011?
No, I was at Nice Kicks probably 2008.
Only reason I ask, because when talking about those like stores with the means to kind of do cool stuff like that, I remember it was right before I graduated college, me and my buddy, we went up there, you know, one time, talked to, it was actually Greg Grovey. He was the manager there.
Yeah.
And, so was talking with him, and they were doing something at one point right before, right before Christmas. It was called their Black Saturday sale. Dude, it was the coolest thing. Like, we got there Saturday. We left Waco about 6 in the morning, got to, you know, Austin like right at 7:30. So they opened at 9. So we were like the maybe 10th people in line at Nice Kicks. And it was so cool because they had about 6 people in at a time. The store, they pretty much put all these picnic tables in the store, put all like a lot of their stuff in their vault, some back, you know, backstock things. Like they had like Chaos Kobe 5s. And this was at the point where Kobe 6 was releasing already. Mm-hmm. They had, you know, a bunch of cool stuff. This was when the LeBron 8 was just released, and they had them on like basically right before the actual release date. They had a bunch of stuff out there, but everything was, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60% off. I mean, it was just so cool because they had the means to do so. And it wasn't something, you know, of course we still had blogs and stuff then, but only place it was advertised was on Nice Kicks website.
Yeah.
So if you talked to them or went to their website, you knew it wasn't something that was, you know, so widely known that they ended up, you know, there was no issue. There was just a line, you know, real, real tame, and people were super nice in there. But it gave you the chance to like buy something really cool for really cheap. I think I bought like 4 or 5 pairs of shoes and like some apparel. I think I walked out spending less than $300. And nowadays that would have been maybe like $1,000 for all the stuff that would be on StockX.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, shout out to Greg Grovey. He actually owns a store in Austin, North Austin, called Kicking It ATX. Yeah, so if you're in Austin, definitely check them out. Super. I mean, Greg's like one of the nicest dudes I've ever met. I mean, like he's just an awesome guy. So, but it's kind of crazy too. You know, that particular thing was prior to. I mean, I wasn't with Nice Kicks, but like. Nice Kicks sold their stores basically to Shoe Palace. So all the Nice Kicks stores are owned by Shoe Palace, but NiceKicks.com is owned by, you know, Matt Halfhill and the team of people that are there. But I think, you know, that's another thing that I think I miss about the old days, where like you really could have like a small store and just be okay and get by and support, you know, 3, 4, 5 employees, and you didn't have to worry about, you know, selling to a bigger company, because a lot of these bigger companies just don't, you know, you run into that same issue of not caring about what's going on and people just there for the discount and those kind of things. But I don't know, man. I think there's a lot more we could actually go down. We might even, I don't know, you guys want to do a part 2 of this one? I think we could easily do it.
I think we could.
But so one of the things that you guys bring it up in the beginning of this conversation about just the in-person stuff, and somebody tagged me in something, I don't know, a week or two ago about, you know, bringing back kind of like the Soul Collector meetups or... and I forget what Soul Collector, I forget what they call them, not meetups, something else. I'm drawing a blank, but anyway, basically doing like getting everybody together so they can hang out and talk sneakers. So I've been toying with the idea. So if you're still listening to this episode, shoot me an email. Let us know if you think we could pull something off like that. I don't want it to be a big thing where it's like, you know, everybody's selling and selling tables and, you know, all this stuff. But I do think that there could be some opportunity to create, like, you know, some sort of social, like, conversation where, like, come out, hang out, you know, maybe we do food and drinks or something and, you know, kind of just have like a meetup. Obviously, we'd have to figure all that out. But if you're interested in something like that, hit me up on Twitter or Instagram or hit up at Sneaker History and we can talk about how we can make that happen, especially if you're interested in helping out with it.
That's a great idea.
Yep. Yeah. Buy my ticket now.
Yeah. And California. I was going to say, Robbie, you want to, I guess, plug in the colorways too, because obviously that's a very similar, mindset.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what my homies. So there's a group of Portlanders, Portlandians, if you will, that kind of want to do more for the sneaker community out here. Because if you're in the Northwest, even Seattle too, like, you know that Nike gives all the drops and really all the fun events to every other major city except for the Northwest, it feels like. So 4th of July weekend, we have, I think, 5 different events. There's 2 where it's a straight up just like hang out, learn about shoes. There's going to be some presenters. We're going to have a panel, which isn't quite set in stone yet. So I'll wait out on saying who's on that panel. But it's going to be some big name people in sneakers. It's going to be a really, really informative and just a good time. Concerts. There's a customization whole kind of, yeah, setup where they're going to provide shoes and they're going to be out there and kind of just go and do your thing. That's going to be called Cam's Customs. Just pretty much everybody who has a voice or influence in the sneaker scene out here is combining forces. So if you're in the Northwest or you want to come out to the Northwest, check out the colorways. It's just thecolorways.com. That's like a shoe colorway, if my speech impediment is making it difficult. So yeah, check that out. You'll see it all over Sneaker History. But just like Nick was saying, we need to have more, or it'd be nice to have more in-person type sneaker events where it's not about just having a shoe held up above your head and a price tag on your back, but just like legitimately learning, sharing. You could be 15, you could be 55, whatever you have to bring to the table or whatever you want to soak up, just get out into your community and learn, ask questions. So I'm always an open resource. I know you two are both open resources for people. Sure. There's a ton of people out there who don't mind answering sneaker questions or whatever kind of questions you might have. So come together, sneaker friends, unite, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, if you're doing that too, like in your area, let us know, because we love to support or at least share, you know, spread the message. I think, you know, this is kind of what we want to do with the platforms that Sneaker History has become. So I think we should probably wrap up though, because we're running a little bit long, but we'll probably end up continuing this conversation in the next episode, because I definitely have some more things that are missing. But if you're still listening, thanks for rolling with us and let us know what you're missing. What do you think should make a comeback in the sneaker game? And we'll include that on the next episode. So my name is Nick Engvall. Yeah. You can catch me at Nick Engvall on all platforms. Guys, let them know how they can catch you guys.
Yep. Mike Guillory. You guys find me on Sneaker History as well, along with Instagram or Twitter under MadWatcher789. Robbie, where can you be found, sir?
You can find me on Amazon, picking out my purple and gold face paint for the 2020 Los Angeles Lakers championship parade being held in Los Angeles. But outside of that, you can find me at RAHBEE702 at all major platforms. But Lakers 2020, you heard it here.
Right on. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll catch y'all next time. Peace.
See you.
Bye.
What up, y'all? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I want to ask a few favors of you. First off, if you're still listening, I wanted to thank you for supporting us and continuing to listen to our podcast. If you're enjoying it, and I'm going to assume that you do if you're listening this long, please take a couple of minutes, head over to iTunes, drop us a review, leave a comment, make sure you're subscribed. It's the only way that we can really continue to grow our audience and reach new people and continue to grow the podcast. Second thing is, if you haven't already, head over to sneakerhistory.com/shop. You can pick up t-shirts, coffee mugs, stickers, and some other miscellaneous things. And all of these things go to help us continue this podcast, to continue the site, and just pay for miscellaneous expenses that come up. We're not trying to make a killing off of it, but it would be awesome to have your support. And who knows, maybe run into one of you on the streets one day rocking a Sneaker History t-shirt. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time. Peace. Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly 2 decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.